While you're at it, introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The jury in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial is now in deliberations. The defense rested its case this morning without calling the president's son to the stand. Former President Trump will meet today with a probation officer for the first time since his conviction in his New York hush money trial. He's expected to appear virtually from Mar-a-Lago, his Florida home. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv to discuss the ongoing ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas.
I think this is a critical moment because we see the possibility, we see the prospect of an immediate ceasefire, of getting all the hostages home, of getting on the path to a durable resolution to the conflict in Gaza.
It's his eighth visit to the region since the October 7th attack. Wyoming transportation officials are trying to come up with the best plan to clean up and rebuild the highway near Jackson, destroyed by a landslide. This is ABC News. An Olympic-sized controversy is rocking Olympic basketball. WNBA rookie, superstar, and all-time NCAA scoring champion Caitlin Clark reportedly snubbed by the U.S. women's basketball team.
Caitlin Clark says U.S. basketball officials called her directly to tell her she had not made the team. So why did Clark fail to make the team? Some speculate lack of experience. Of the 12 players on the Olympic team, only three will be first-time Olympians and all have played at least 3 years in the WNBA. As for Clark, she appears to be staying positive.
I'm excited for them. I'm going to be rooting them on to win gold.
Many analysts call the decision a missed opportunity for Team USA.
ABC's Andrea Fujii. A close call at a major airport in India. Two airliners were using the same runway. One was landing, the other was taking off in Mumbai. At one point, they were less than 1,700 feet apart. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
What seems to be the problem?
Doctor, thank goodness. My husband found out Cricket Wireless has 5G plans starting at $15 a month, and his jaw just dropped.
Oh. Did he hear about Cricket's blazing fast 5G?
Yep.
Uh-huh. What about their reliable nationwide coverage?
Yes, that too.
Uh-huh. I see. Unfortunately, there's no cure.
Oh.
But you will have really fast 5G.
Get jaw-droppingly fast 5G for $15 a month. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Video may be limited to SD. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. Subject to change. See store for details.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling.
Following inmate deaths at Waupun, budget writers in the Wisconsin legislature are looking at the Wisconsin Department of Corrections.
Last week saw criminal charges filed in Dodge County against 9 employees at Waupun Correctional Institution, including the former warden. Joint Finance Committee co-chairs Representative Mark Bourne on replacing the Waupun and Green Bay prisons.
We should continue those discussions. We can run safer, more cost-effective prisons if they're more current facilities. So those discussions should continue.
Bourne added that updating the two prisons, parts of which are more than a century old, probably wouldn't be the best use of resources. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers is proposing the largest budget increase ever proposed for the universities of Wisconsin system.
Being 42nd in the nation in state support does not cut it.
Evers told the Board of Regents Friday his next biennial budget will call for an increase of over $400 million in each year. 7 four-year campuses are facing budget shortfalls, and UW-Oshkosh has exhausted its reserves. Republicans on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee have rejected the Democratic governor's previous UW budget requests. A company seeks to foreclose on the home of the Milwaukee Bucks G League team, the Milwaukee Herd. Bayland Buildings has filed a notice of mortgage foreclosure on Oshkosh Arena, citing owner Fox Valley Pro Basketball has no money and is behind on mortgage payments. And Oshkosh City Manager Mark Roloff says they've heard nothing from company president Greg Pierce about paying $626,000 in property taxes for this year.
Those are what was actually due immediately after January 31st when they failed to make their first payment. According to law, once you're delinquent, the entire amount is due.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Plenty of sunshine in the sky today as a high-pressure system sits overhead, providing calm winds and comfortable temperatures in the low 70s. We'll stay clear again tonight and fall quite crisp. Then we get a little wet tomorrow with some showers and storms. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Widely mixed day in the grain markets. Soybeans and meal ended with moderate gains. Corn slightly higher. And wheat futures sharply lower. Cotton futures also saw a heavy selling and lower prices. Lean hogs traded lower. And the cattle complex shot higher on still good beef demand.
Live with Monday almost in the rearview mirror via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. And later, Gary Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
You know, Davis, I can't help but think that was almost a thank God today is over, almost over,
kind of a little bit.
Is that where you are?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's been, and don't blame yourself. It's been a busy, productive day here.
Yeah.
You know, I feel good about myself. I've accomplished
good
things. Yes.
Good.
It's great.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. It's important. It's important.
It absolutely is to get things done because then you have an excuse to rest, which I am planning to take full advantage of this evening.
Fantastic. All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
You.
Yeah, a mixed day of trade in the grains. But, boy, the ability of corn and soybeans to kind of, I don't want to say completely shrug off those sharp losses in the wheat market and work to the upside because, you know, penny to 3 cents higher in corn is clearly not a breakaway move by any stretch. Mm-hmm. But when wheat futures are 20 cents lower and you can get a plus side close in the corn market. I think we got to feel pretty good about that. No question.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Real quick, this is just because I don't know how much time we're going to have at the end of the show. Okay. I want to make sure that everybody knows that tomorrow are Merck Days, Merck Animal Health Days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we will be in Marshall, Minnesota, Big Apple Joe Stackler and I, at the Merck Days at the Animal Health Center there in Marshall, Minnesota. That we're doing that on Tuesday, and then, you know, we're expecting to have just so much doggone fun. We're going to do it again on Thursday at the Rock Vet Clinic in Laverne, Minnesota.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Looking forward to it. So we'll see you in Marshall on Tuesday, Laverne on Thursday. All right. Let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Sure thing, buddy. Well, downside momentum in wheat futures accelerated today with July soft red winter wheat futures collapsing to a ninth consecutive lower close and the lowest close since May 2nd. With the U.S. winter wheat harvest advancing, hedge pressure is building on wheat prices despite concerns over production in Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. Traders did point to the potential for some rain later this week in Russia's southern region as a source of pressure. USDA this morning reported export inspections of wheat totaled 352,000 metric tons. That was at the low end of trade expectations. July HRW wheat futures were 22 cents lower today, 643 and three quarters. July SRW wheat down 20, 607 and one half. July spring wheat closed at 675 and one quarter, down 19 and one quarter cents, Chip.
Yeah, I think the technical description of the way that the chart looks right now is ugly.
Oh, okay.
Ugly. In winter wheat futures in particular, the SRW contract, nine consecutive lower closes, big-time downside momentum going in that market.
Yep. Well, Chip, corn inspected for export in the weekend of June 6th totaled 1.34 million metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations and helped to offset some of that spillover pressure from the wheat market. Wheat did limit buying interest as corn futures prepped for the second crop condition rating of the year. The start of the Safrinha corn harvest in Brazil, with reports of good yields, also limited buying interest. July corn opened fractionally lower and posted an inside trading day with a low range opened and a high range close, and that sets the stage for a test of resistance at last week's high of 454 and a quarter. July corn futures today, 3 cents higher, 451 and three quarters. September corn up a penny and a half to 456 and a quarter. December corn futures closed at 468 and one quarter, up a penny on the day. Feels like a win just getting over 450 in the July, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, no, I hear you. And even clinging to that $4.50 level in the July corn, I think can be considered a bit of a win.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, soybean meal futures opened slightly lower but did trade higher for nearly the entire session. That helped soybean prices trade to the upside despite sharp losses in wheat and a lower bias in bean oil futures. The National Oilseed Processors Association revised its April crush estimate. NOPA added 3.4 million bushels to the tally that now stands at 169.5 million bushels. The revised tally still down 2.2% from a year ago. July soybean futures opened steady today and posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. July beans, 9 cents higher, all told, 1188 and a quarter. August beans up 6 cents to 1182 and three quarters. November beans closed at 1158 and three quarters. That's up a penny today.
Yeah, still trying to figure out exactly what happened with that NOPA crush data because it was a negative factor on the market. Now we got a bit of a revision. We got a bit of a recovery. I guess that makes sense.
Well, July cotton today was 203 points lower to start the week at 71.81. On your livestock's fat cattle pushed through resistance at last week's high, set to test resistance just under 185. Boxed beef prices higher again. Heavyweight choice graded boxed beef up $1.18 for this morning's trade. That's at 317.93. June fat cattle today $1.75 higher, 183.92 and a half. And August feeder futures up $3.72 and a half to 258.65. Snout side, lean hog futures traded in a very narrow range. Volatility drained out of the market. June hogs today, 27 and one half lower, 92.25. Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis Michelson. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, good afternoon, Jack.
Afternoon. Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday to you too, brother. So how do you feel about these grains right now? What's the feature?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. One is the weather here in the Midwest, which is kind of cool today, but actually looks to be kind of hot and dusty here later on this week. So that'll be a feature. There's supposed to be some really good yields in the wheat market, and that seems to be impacting the wheat in a negative way price-wise. And that'll probably stay a feature as well. But the other thing, I think, is these tax proposals down in Brazil that have a real chance to disrupt the international market and push more demand for corn and soybeans our way.
Yeah. You've got great contacts down in Brazil, Jack. What's the talk about these new taxes that are coming on? Is it going to be that much of a disruption?
Well, apparently it is. Apparently a lot of the producers have stopped selling already, waiting to see what goes on. So that's one thing that's going on. And I have to say my business is kind of getting shut down from there for a while. I think in part because of this. And, it has a chance to, it depends, of course, if it passes Congress, and that's a pretty big if, but, even if it doesn't, in the short term, it's going to be very disruptive.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely need to keep track of what is going on with it. Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, we've got Brian Grady. Brian, of course, is the editor of Pro Farmer Newsletter, and we've got him here on AgriTalk.
You spend your whole life on the soil, so it's like it's a part of you. We're doing conservation programs with the USDA. We've been doing no-till, nutrient management, and we do cover crops on the no-till stuff. These practices are really paying off. Our sugar beets have gone from 18 ton to we're pushing 35 to 40 ton now. When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. You're squawking over $20 billion. It's investment into the future for everybody.
John Burke is the owner of Burke Family Farms, Bay City, Michigan. John, tell me about how you use USDA conservation programs at your farm.
Well, over the years, we've been in numerous different programs, from the Conservation Security Program to the EQIP programs. We even had some local watershed programs. You know, we started reducing our tillage 30 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of an expensive process back then. So it was really nice to have some funding there from the USDA to kind of help cover some of them costs.
Absolutely. So staying consistent in the conservation effort is important in your practice, right?
Right. To stay in it consistently, it's very expensive. So, you know, a lot of farmers will jump in and out of these programs because, you know, they get funding for a year or two and the funding disappears. So they really don't see a big benefit in a couple of years of cover cropping. You know, it takes 4, 5, 6 years sometimes before you see a huge benefit.
What is the status of that funding that's available through the IRA and other conservation programs? Is that funding in danger now?
From what I understand, yes, it is. If you worry about climate change, this is how we protect the climate, is by sequestering that carbon. And we can do that very easily with no-till and cover crop. And if we stay in business, we can protect the climate. We can provide food at a cheaper price. Because if the farmers are not here in the U.S., what's our alternatives for food? You have to go across the pond somewhere and buy it.
Right. Food security is national security. That is John Burke, Burke Family Farms in Bay City, Michigan.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin dairy farms contribute an estimated $43 billion to the state economy? No other single product produced in Wisconsin creates a greater economic impact, and milk is the top commodity in Pepin, Pierce, Buffalo, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Farm First Dairy Cooperative, where it's always been about dairy producers and their cows, as it should be. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com for more information.
This June Dairy Month, we celebrate our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, and develop the next generation of young leaders. Farm First is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to its members. Thank you to all dairy farm families this June. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how we put farm families first.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. Brian Grady is the editor at Pro Farmer, and he is our guest analyst. I talk with Brian each weekday morning, the bottom of the hour, 10:30 for Markets Now. But we're going to build on that conversation and get into some of the topics out there. Beej, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, awesome, Chip. Couldn't be better. Thanks.
It's a gorgeous afternoon, isn't it? We ought to be out doing something.
Yeah, well, I will be here in a little bit. After I get off the show, I'm going to head to a baseball game tonight. So it should be there a beautiful night for baseball.
Oh, man, absolutely. I guarantee it will be. Guarantee it. Good deal. Good deal. Big movement in the wheat market today. I want to start there. It seems like every headline that comes out of Russia regarding that crop gets a lot of attention unless we're close to the weekend. You know, on Friday or on a Monday, it seems like the hedging that comes into this wheat market now is kind of the dominating factor, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, we had the nice, really strong contra-seasonal run-up from the April low to that peak on, what was it, like the almost the end of May, May 28th. I'm just looking at the chart here. So the end of May that is reversed now, and we're into more seasonal price pressure and those types of things. Very typical during the winter wheat harvest here in the United States that we see price pressure. Even in the years when we've had really poor crops, winter wheat crops,
that's right.
We still face harvest pressure. It is just tried and true. It's going to put pressure on the market, and we're seeing that play out right now.
But, dude, 9 consecutive lower closes in July SRW futures. That's getting a little hard to take.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, like we rallied significantly off the April low, and so we're retracing that. That July SRW contracts retraced about 62% of the rally. In all likelihood, it's probably going to retrace three quarters, if not all of it, and maybe even more than that if the harvest here in the U.S. continues to roll along at a very quick clip. I think the Russian stuff has played out at this point in time for now. Unless we see that just full deterioration across the Black Sea region. And so, you know, we had the drought stress, and we had the frosts early in May and all that, and that led to that contra-seasonal big move up presented a selling opportunity for those that took advantage of it. And now we're retreating, and like I said, in all likelihood, just from a seasonal perspective, probably likely to face more price pressure.
Okay. It doesn't feel like it's over yet. That is for sure. It's not to say that we are going to close lower again tomorrow or even again the rest of the week, but it does not feel like ultimately like the price pressure is over in this market. It's just got the downside momentum going. So, we're going to have to watch that very closely. Now, even with that happening in the wheat market today, corn, just call it steady to 3 cents higher. That wasn't a terrible price performance at all.
No, and so I think the corn market, we're looking at forecasts now. Obviously, we're into summer time frame, into the middle third of June, and it looks like it's going to warm up quite a bit by the end of the week into next week, and so we'll keep an eye on that and. Typically, you trade a weather market at least once during the growing season and sometimes multiple times. And so that's probably going to be the driving force in the corn market. Now, I will say it'll be difficult for corn and wheat to diverge in a major fashion for an extended period of time. But you saw today that it happens. Normally, when you see the wheat market under pressure, 20 plus cents or around 20 cents, you wouldn't see corn finish higher on the day, and
right.
the July contract ended up 3 cents, three quarters of a cent higher in, or a penny higher in the December contract. And so it was a fairly solid price performance in the corn market, all things considered.
Yeah, it's one of those performances that makes me think if wheat could trade steady at some point this week, that might be good for 4 or 5 cents in this corn market. Now, is 4 or 5 cents an opportunity, Brian, that needs to be taken advantage of, or is that something that, volatility starting to build in corn, let's let it build for a while and see where it takes us?
Yeah, I think from a seasonal perspective, so, June 1 to 10 is your most common time frame for a summertime peak for corn. And then after that, it becomes the last 10 days of the month. So we're now into that middle period. And so let's assume we didn't post our summertime peak in corn futures. Let's hope. Hope not, anyway, from a bullish perspective. But I think that if that heat remains in the forecast, then I think you'll see the corn market move up. And the May highs are the first level that we're going to look at on the charts and maybe even have an opportunity to move a little bit above that. But it's probably going to take something like a warmer forecast to encourage that type of buying.
Yeah. Boy, I hate to be the guy to say this, but I'm going to. Some heat is kind of what this corn crop needs. It's what the bean crop needs. Between now and the first part of July when tassels shoot, we could use some heat.
I agree. Sunshine and heat is probably the best recipe for the crops at the moment. Because we've had so much rainfall to this point. But I still think the market, in the back of their mind, they get a little bit jittery. So that's all it takes. Sometimes it doesn't have to fully make sense. It takes a trigger, a catalyst to cause the buying, and you just need some conviction behind it, and you turn into a selling opportunity for the farmer.
Right, right. And I think that's especially true with as short as the funds are. I can't imagine that the funds are going to, stay committed to the short side of the market if some heat would come into that forecast.
Yeah, and really that's all we're looking to do at the moment is to some trigger there to get the funds a little bit uncomfortable to the point where they do cover short positions. Now, the worst case scenario would be is if they cover short positions and we don't really move up and we just kind of stay at current levels, then we got more issues, because once we get into and through pollination, if there are no real threats, then you're going to see the funds be sellers again. And so we need the funds to move up and or cover shorts and move prices up as they do that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So when you look at the D's, before we sat back again here, people were pointing at that resistance just over $5, that 503, 504 area. Is that still a possibility in this market, or would you be heavily sold by the time we get there?
Well, I think that the upward possibilities are probably that 485 to 495 range, and then above that $5, and I think those are realistic in terms of where we can get to. It's probably going to take something of significance to get us above $5, but you move above those psychological levels, and then who knows at that point in time, because then a lot of this comes down to money flow and what the funds decide to do and how many of those short positions that you mentioned that they decide to cover and those types of things. So a realistic band of for an upside target would be 485 to 495, and you get about $5 and then maybe you can really make something happen on a short-term perspective.
Where might that put the Novi beans?
I think that, we're sitting there at we'll call
11:58 on the close.
Yeah, so I mean you're talking like 12:50-ish type of area, 12:75 up into there. So you would have to push through those May highs. There in that 12:30 area, And I think that, you know, you get above there and then you get into some areas that we haven't seen since late or early winter. And so, once again, money flow at that point in time becomes really critical in terms of where the ceiling's at.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, very quickly, the corrections to the NOPA crush data from April, any influence on the markets?
Maybe a little bit. So that NOPA number was really low to us when it came out, and we questioned it, and they did make an upward revision. The number still wasn't as to the level we thought it would be, but the upward revision helped a little bit there.
Yeah, it did. All right, we are in the middle of a conversation with Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Beej, when we come back, let's talk a little bit of cotton. That market just got smoked again today. What's the big moving influencer there?
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at theagmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 22 cents lower at 643 and three quarters. July SRW down 20 cents to 607 and one half. July corn futures were 3 cents higher today, 451 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 468 and one quarter. That's up a penny today. July soybean futures were 9 cents higher at 1188 and one quarter. Novi beans closed at 1158 and three quarters. That's up a penny today. July cotton, 203 points lower, 7181. On your livestocks, June fat cattle, 175 higher at 183.92 and a half. August feeder futures up $3.72 and a half to 258.65. June lean hogs, 27 and a half cents lower, 92.25. Get more. Try ProFarmer.com.
Scammers often try.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Plenty of sunshine in the sky today as a high-pressure system sits overhead, providing calm winds and comfortable temperatures in the low 70s. We'll stay clear again tonight and fall quite crisp. Then we get a little wet tomorrow with some showers and storms. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Today's guest analyst, Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Beach, during the break, had a question about the Juneteenth holiday and whether or not it was a three-day weekend this year. It's not. It's middle of the week, right?
Absolutely. So Wednesday, June 19th, is the holiday. So that's a federal holiday. It's a market holiday. There is overnight trade that night, so it'd be the Wednesday overnight session that's part of the Thursday
trade.
Yeah, but no trade during the daytime on Wednesday, June 19th.
Gotcha. It's become another, when it is a three-day weekend, it's become another weekend to pay attention to, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So when you get into summertime, anytime you get a, you know, potential for weather markets and things like that on the extended weekends, critical, but doesn't happen to be a weekend this time.
Right. Okay. Dude, what is wrong with cotton? Is it just demand and China's, like, refusal to buy?
So the, you know, finishing up the old crop year on a very poor note from an export perspective.
Yeah.
And it isn't the sales. The sales have been okay. It's the shipments that have just been really poor for weeks now. And so just not moving the cotton out. And that's a big concern there. But, you know, technically it just continues to break down. The funds are very comfortable selling. There just isn't any bullish catalyst. West Texas, very key cotton area, obviously, has had a very good start to the growing season, got some more rains over the weekend. And so just like, really struggling to find some bullish news. And what we're seeing is every time we pop up to the upside with any kind of price strength, there's plentiful sellers and they just continue to drive it lower. So we're looking at probably a target of the contract lows around 70.20 is probably the next landing spot. And it could go lower than that, but there's also some support there in the longer term chart. So I would anticipate that that's probably the next level we go to.
Okay. All right. Is that going to change the balance sheet when we get the update on Thursday on the old crop cotton?
Probably not on old crop. They're really focused as we move forward to new crop at the moment.
Okay.
And the anticipation is that we will see a higher number there for the ending stocks for the 24-25 marketing year and probably a reduced export number. And so all that we talked about plays into what we'll likely see on Wednesday.
Okay. What about for corn, soybeans, wheat? What should listeners be thinking about when it comes to the supply and demand update for the grains?
So we just started the new marketing year for wheat. So the key there is going to be the second production update for the winter wheat estimates. So I think that'll be critical. We're looking at a bigger crop and as a result, bigger reports. But all in all, unless there's some sort of major surprise, probably wheat will not be the price leader. I think that corn ending stocks are probably a number that we need to keep an eye on, both old crop and new crop. So both are above 2 billion bushels at the moment. If either would start with a 1 instead of a 2, psychologically, that's kind of important. And then maybe we could get some upward movement like we were talking about before the break there. So it may not be much more than a couple million bushels or something like that when all said and done, but the psychological impact of starting with a 1 versus a 2 on the ending stocks is pretty critical.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What else on the grains? I think we're through the list of things that really need to be covered in the grains, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And one more thing on the corn. We're having a very good finish, or into the final quarter here is in the for the corn exports. Okay. The inspections number this morning was strong again. Yep. We continue to whittle away. And so it wouldn't surprise me if we see USDA bump up the old crop export number there for corn on Wednesday. And so that would be a key number in that component of whether we get below 2 billion bushels or not on right. the ending stocks.
Yeah, but the key is, as you said, getting to a one on the to lead off on the carryover for corn rather than a two. And yeah. I don't know if we're going to get there, but we can keep moving in the right direction. You know, okay, I got to ask you this one, too. Before we move on to livestock, 75% good to excellent on this corn crop?
Yeah, and you know, it may tick down a point or hold steady when we get an update here in about a half an hour. But, you know, soybean crop, we're going to get the first rating there, too. It's going to be in that low 70s number category area probably. And so really good start to the growing season for corn, soybeans, and spring wheat. Spring wheat was 74% good to excellent last week. And so all three of those crops are off to a very good start here.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't make a crop by this time. We know that. But step number one in building a trend, you know, even getting close to a trend line yield, step number one is a good start. And 75% good to excellent, that's a good start. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we need
just
to
increases your odds
that
you're going to have a big yield when all said and done.
Yeah.
Doesn't guarantee it by any means, but it increases the odds of that.
Yeah, we need to respect it. We absolutely, absolutely. Box beef prices, heavyweight choice box beef price this morning, $317.93, Beach. Man, oh, man, what a hot market.
Absolutely, and we've got the select above 300, too. So, I mean, it's
301.22.
Just, yeah, incredible price strength. And you know, we're into a time frame now when – retailers have done most of their buying for the beef holidays. Mm-hmm. Typically, you start to see prices fade, and then the summer doldrums as we move past the 4th of July holiday. And so we're into the time frame now where it typically starts to weaken, but we aren't seeing that. And a large reason why we aren't is because the packer has slowed down the slaughter run so much that there's just a reduced supply of beef out there, which is supporting prices, which is helping support the packer margins. And better packer margins are allowing the cash price to hold near the all-time high that we posted 2 weeks ago. And, you know, so it's kind of all builds on itself here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Father's Day weekend has turned into a real beef weekend. And the fact that the beef market has reflected it, and I'm sure that there's some buying in here for the 4th of July holiday and everything, but dang, man, oh man, it makes me think can the futures make another run to the all-time highs?
So I think it's possible. It's probably going to come later in the year where, you know, we have to get through that typical lull that we see in the summer time frame. But the retail demand has held up really well, given that we're near or at record highs from a retail price perspective, and the consumers just continued to buy beef, and quite honestly, we need it because the exports aren't real strong, and they've been a weak point and expected to remain weak, and so we need the domestic demand, and it's been doing the job.
Well, with beef prices where they're at, you would think that there would be a little bit of a reaction in the export market, and we're seeing it. The export sales have backed off, but if you're looking for strong export sales, just go over to the pork market, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Pork exports have been phenomenal in Mexico. It starts and stops with Mexico, basically. Yeah. The Chinese demand has backed off quite a bit over the past year, and you know, we knew it would slow down somewhat, but, we thought maybe it'd be more of a drag. But Mexico just been absolutely buying a huge amount of U.S. pork. And so that's helped offset that sting somewhat. Now, it isn't really reflective in the futures market. I mean, we're into a right. contra-seasonal slide there in prices. But, from just purely a demand perspective, pork exports are great.
Yeah, and it's not just hams anymore going into Mexico. There's some variety meats that are going into Mexico, and loins. Loins are going into Mexico, and we've been talking about it here on the show, Brian. They're just cheap as heck at the grocery store right now.
Oh, absolutely, and that's probably been it. It isn't the domestic demand is poor for pork. Probably the bigger surprise is that retail beef demand domestically has held up as well as it has,
yes,
given the price differential with pork.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right, Beej. The fact that there hasn't been any, and if there is some, it's very light movement of consumer dollars from beef over to pork is just kind of shocking to me that we haven't seen it happen yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some narratives that could have played out that haven't in the meat markets on both sides, good and bad for both beef and pork. All in all,
man, we're almost out of time. Are you feeling any urgency to get hedging on in cattle or hogs?
Well, the cattle, they're so far below the cash market that it just makes it really risky. You got to buy puts if you're going to do something there. The futures are just too far below. And on the hog side of things, the premiums that the summer month contracts hold to the cash index are virtually nothing. And so that very unusual at this time of year.
Yeah. So it's hard to hedge in either market, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yep. Brian, good stuff, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
You betcha, Chip. Thank you.
All right. Brian Grady, editor of Pro Farmer. Should mention, if you would like more from Pro Farmer, see what they have to offer for a daily and weekly service, try profarmer.com.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Dr. Brooke Smith, veterinary nutrition lead at Cargill Animal Nutrition, joins us right now. Dr. Smith, health of the hog herd seems to be a regular concern. How's the industry doing? How healthy is the swine herd?
I think if you poll any swine veterinarian active today with our commercial herds, general consensus would be that we are seeing a decline in the overall health of our commercial herds. A lot of it's credited to just changes in the pathogens or the bugs that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. They're harder to treat medically, and the disease that they cause tends to be more severe. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there.
What's the best way to tackle this challenge?
I think we're really understanding a cooperative approach is the best way to address health in our commercial herd. So obviously medical intervention will remain in the forefront, and that would be working with your herd veterinarian to develop your health plan. But other factors such as nutrition, environmental control, and husbandry all make big influences on how successful you are in mitigating health in practice.
Who should producers be talking with as they're coming up with a health and nutrition plan?
When you're coming up with an approach to a health problem, your vet will obviously be somebody you contact, but I really strongly encourage that your nutritionist or your contact with the nutrition company that you utilize becomes involved and gets in contact with the veterinarian if possible, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page of what the issue is, so that we can formulate a strategy going forward.
Fantastic, Dr. Smith. Where can we go for more information?
You can talk to any of our Cargill representatives. They're located throughout the U.S. We also have information on our CargillAnimalNutrition.com website that'd be available.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That is Dr. Brooke Smith, Veterinary Nutrition Lead at Cargill Animal Nutrition.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Davis is here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Monday afternoon. That means it's time for an update from Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory. Carrie, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again. How are you doing?
Well, doing just fine, getting ready to hit the road and get out and amongst the people in southwest Minnesota here for a couple of days. But first, let's make sure that everybody knows that if you would like a two-week free trial of the services from Kerry, go to artacadvisory.com, that's A-R-T-A-C advisory.com. And get signed up for the free trial. Kerry, kick us off with July corn.
Yeah, July corn, we've been, and I sound like a broken record, but we are still in the long-term bear market with the broader corn futures market. But there is a one-year channel top. We tested really every week for the month of May that we came off of in the 460s, dropping every week. It's at 461 and three quarter this week. We closed today 451 and three quarter, so 10 cents higher. Is that ceiling? It can contain buying perhaps through summer, and below which the path of least resistance remains down. 422 and a quarter, the July contract low that was put out last February remains in reach perhaps by July expiration. And over the next 2 to 3 months, the broader market, which is to say September, December contracts, could unwind into the very low $4 area. 404 and a quarter is the February low that was put out on that weekly chart when March 24 was front and lead contract. So 461 and three quarter, big test. We just might see it here, possibly this week. If we can close above it on Friday, and I want to see that by a 1% margin, long-term line studies deserve the 1% violation threshold. Today's This week's number is 466 and a quarter. So a Friday settlement of 466 and a quarter, I think, should set off a meaningful buy signal through summer trade. The next 3 to 5 months, I would anticipate 568 half. That is a 2.5 year channel top. And believe it or not, the ultra long term trend remains bearish below 568 half. But I do think we could get a pretty nice counter trend rally for 3 to 5 months if we can close this week Friday above 461 and three quarter by that 1% margin. On to August feeder cattle. There is this three-decade-long channel top that we have tested. Now, last September, we tested it, the big sell-off all the way to the December low, and we retested it actually a couple of weeks ago when we pushed to within 1% of it. And following that test, we fell to what I consider to be midterm support. So that long-term price ceiling, 267.72. We closed today 258.65, and I see a good reason to anticipate yet another test of 267.72 over the next week or two. A 267.72 able to contain annual buying pressures. And if you're looking at the long-term cycles, the long-term price charts, from there, we can fall into the lower 230s by the end of the year. But if we close above 267.72 at the end of the week, then I see yet another significant long-term buy signal that I think by the end of the year should push us into the low $3 area. I have a four-year channel top at 290 and rising into the low $3 area by the end of August. And I think that would be our big picture objective if we close above 267.72. Until then, we have tested and retested long-term resistance. The market, you could say, by one measure, is prone to meaningful bearish continuation as we move into later year. I think our next downside sell signal would be 252.65. That is a support area we actually tested last week and have come off of nicely. I call that midterm support. I was telling subscribers to buy it if their time horizon is 3 to 5 weeks out. But if we close below 252.65, I have a 3 to 5 week sell signal down to 237. And the broader market over the next 2 to 3 months could fall to 231.85 long-term channel support that we actually tested in December. It's a four-year channel bottom that says that the long-term, the four-year trend remains bullish, while we tested a 30-year channel top, last week. Finally, July crude oil set off a meaningful sell signal about a week ago below a price point at 78.50. We're in the upper 77 handle right now. We're rallying back up to it after having closed below it last week, about a week and a half ago. It can contain buying 78.50 through July, even through summer, below which 67.71 in reach over the next couple of months, and possibly all the way south into the very low 60s, $60 even. Wouldn't surprise me by the end of the year. Inversely, if we close above 78.50, that failure to follow through on a technical sell signal is in itself a sign of strength. And I would then expect, with a settlement above 78.50, a 1 to 2 month rally into the mid 80s. 85.50 is a long-term resistance area that we actually tested in April and fell away from nicely. And it would be expected, again, within a couple of months of closing above 78.50. So 78.50, big pivot point for West Texas Intermediate. We are presently just below it and rallying back up to it. This is a sell opportunity right now, but all we need is another dollar or two higher, and we shift back into a more bullish framework as we move into July trade. And that is all I've got, Chip.
Excellent. Excellent. Good work, Kerry. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You bet. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Again, go to artakadvisory.com. Get signed up for a two-week free trial. Very quickly, National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, June 16th through the 20th, above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation across the Corn Belt. The 8 to 14, June 18th through the 24th, has got the above normal temperatures sticking across the Corn Belt. The above normal precip moves into the northern production areas. I hear that we've got Big Apple Joe Stackler just waiting to get on the line with us. Are you there, Big Apple?
I am here. You've heard correctly. I am here at Animal Health Center, 1300 North Highway 59 in Marshall, Minnesota, where tomorrow will be a Merck Day event. And guests will be there, AgriTalk. They've got all kinds of things planned, food, ice cream, fun stuff, and AgriTalk. Nice. So how could you not want to come out for that? It's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. We've got Merck Days at the Animal Health Center there in Marshall, Minnesota. What is it? 1300 U.S. Highway 9?
59. North 59. Highway 59. Yes.
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. All right.
North Highway 59.
We will see you in just a little bit, Big Apple. We'll see you soon, bud.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Big Apple Joe up in Marshall, Minnesota. Thursday, we'll also be in Laverne, Minnesota at the Rock Vet Clinic. You guys know where that is at as well. Davis, hold the fort down if something goes wrong, will you?
Will do, brother.
Marshall, Minnesota tomorrow morning on AgriTalk.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 163-1119.